Do you feel unqualified to teach others? Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth understands how a lot of women feel.
I've blown so much of my life. I made so many wrong choices. I have failed in so many respects. And I'm sure the older you get, the bigger catalog of failures you have that Satan can throw up in your face and say, there's nothing you could offer. Teach out of your failures. Teach out of what God has shown you, where you did blow it, where you didn't trust Him, what you learned through that, where God found you, about the addictions that you had, about the ways that you failed. Teach out of your life and help those who are coming behind you to be guarded and protected in their steps. My life is so much richer today as I'm getting older because of older people who have poured into my life.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, author of Adorned, for Monday, February 13th, 2017. We've got some good news today for imperfect people as Nancy continues in the series called God's Beautiful Design for Women, living out Titus 2, 1 through 5. You'll be encouraged to be involved in mentoring relationships. And at the end of the program, Nancy will tell us about a woman who's been filling that role for her in the last couple of years. Let's listen.
Pat Moore was an industrial designer who designed products that were used by people for different applications. And one day at the age of 26, she began to realize that a lot of the products that were being used in our culture were not adequate or working well for older people for a variety of reasons. And so at the age of 26, Pat Moore set out to discover what life was really like for senior adults. And she set up this fascinating experiment. Over the course of 3 years, she traveled throughout the United States and Canada, visited 116 cities, disguised as a helpless 85-year-old woman. She used professional makeup. She wore this gray wig. She wore special glasses that caused her to have blurred vision. She did a lot of things. She wore a special brace that made her body just move more slowly and things that would make her feel and act and conduct herself in a way that was elderly, and wanted to see what kind of responses and reactions people would have to her. I've seen pictures of her in this getup, and you just would not believe this was a 26-year-old woman. And in 1984, after the 3 years of this experiment, she wrote a book called Disguised. It's a firsthand account of what she experienced over those years, and it tells about how other older people, as a rule, treated her kindly, but how younger people were often harsh with her. At one point, she was mugged by a group of 13-year-old kids. She was badly beaten, so much so that she suffered a serious back injury that has been permanent. And she uses the term social dismissal to describe how many younger people treated her as an older woman. Now, the attitude of Scripture toward older people could never be characterized as social dismissal. Nothing could be further from the way God views older people. And to the contrary of social dismissal, in Titus chapter 2, we're going to see that older people, older believers, play a vital role in the church and in the advancement of God's kingdom. Now, let me just take a moment to reset where we are, and I hope that through this series, which is going to go on for a number of weeks, that you are reading along in Titus with us, perhaps taking time each day over 30 days. We gave that 30-day challenge to read the book, to meditate on it, to let God speak to you through it, so that these few little verses in Titus 2 that we're going to focus most of our time on, you'll have the feeling of where they fit and how they relate to the rest of the book. And we saw that in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul addresses spiritual leaders, elders, overseers. These leaders are to live godly lives. That's what qualifies them. They cannot be spiritual leaders in the church, or not supposed to be, if their lives are not exemplary, their lives and their families. And their function and their responsibility is to teach sound doctrine and to correct those who don't, so that the flock may be protected from things that are not healthy doctrine. Then in chapter 2, we come to an emphasis on church members, the followers, those who are not necessarily the leaders. And we see that they are to have to live their lives in a way that is consistent with sound doctrine. And we see the influence and the impact that our lives have on others. Whether we're men or women, younger, older, any position, season of life, we are to live lives that accord with sound doctrine. And our lives are to have influence. They do have influence, for better or worse, on others. And so Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, "But as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine." And again, that means not just the sound doctrine itself, but how it applies to life. Because it's the Word of God that produces lives that are pleasing to the Lord. And then he goes on in verse 2, and he says, "Older men," this is what accords with sound doctrine. This is the application of the sound doctrine. This is what it looks like when you flesh it out. "Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness." And then this is what sound doctrine looks like on older women. Verse 3, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women." Now, here's what sound doctrine looks like on young women. The young women are to learn to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Verse 6, "Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled." That's what sound doctrine looks like on younger men. And then he goes on to talk to those who are slaves or servants and continues on in the text. Now, let me just stop there because this is the paragraph we want to focus on during the series. Notice, first of all, that Paul gives specific, distinct direction to men and women, different for men than for women. And I think that's because men and women have different temptations, different proclivities, different inclinations as to how we fall into sin. We all need sound doctrine, but how it fleshes out in our lives and what needs to be emphasized for our lives may be different. He makes distinctions between younger and older. Because at different seasons of lives, there are different temptations, different ways that we need to be reminded to apply sound doctrine. People in different socioeconomic strata, people with different roles and responsibilities, leaders and followers. Paul makes distinctions between these categories of people because the outworking of sound, healthy doctrine has practical implications for each of these categories. Now, notice also that in this paragraph we just read, there are no exceptions. Everybody pretty much falls in one of these categories. You're either a man or a woman. You're younger or you're older. Now, it should be pretty clear whether you're a man or woman. It may not be quite so clear whether you're younger or older, but this covers us all. He covers leaders. He covers followers. He's saying that doctrine applies to everyone. It's not just ministers are supposed to know doctrine and live doctrine. It's not just, some class of mature Christians, they're supposed to know doctrine and live doctrine. He's saying every person in every season and category of life has implications that they need to follow in relation to doctrine. Now, notice that he starts with older men, then he moves to older women. So he starts with the older folks first, which is what we're going to do in this series. Then he moves to younger women and then younger men. And we want to take them in the same order. Today, I just want to introduce the concept of older believers. And we're going to actually look at both the men and the women's passage because there are applications of all of this for us as women. But first, I just want to concentrate on this matter of older people in the church. The church needs and should have both older and younger people. It's a sad thing to me today when I see certain churches or Christian groups becoming so homogenous that they just fit one group of people. You hear about churches that are trying to reach, generation this or generation that or a particular group of people. I was in a church recently, a small church, that had almost exclusively older people. And I thought, that church is missing out on what younger people would bring to the life of that church. But then there are churches today that are almost exclusively 20-somethings or 30-somethings or young families or young professionals, young singles. And you have these groups that maybe enjoy and like and have a lot in common with each other, but they don't have the benefit of the wisdom and the grace and the mentoring of the older people. My friend Kim Wagner here was telling me the other day that she took a group of women from her church to a Revive Our Hearts conference recently. And they had women in that group as young as 17 or 18, and a woman in her 70s, and everything in between. And she was telling me how they stopped at a quick stop for a break on their en route to the conference and got out and were just getting some snacks and stuff. And Kim said she was the last one to check out. And she said the woman who was checking them out commented how unusual it was to see a group of women with such an age range who were also enjoying each other. And Kim said how happy that made her, because her dream for their local church, her husband is a pastor of that church, and she said her dream has been that it would be a family that would have the benefit and the blessing of both the younger and the older and each season of life represented. Now, when we talk about older women or men, older believers, first of all, what is older? Everybody's waiting for me to answer that question. They say that old age is always 15 years older than you are. And the older I get, the more I think that's true. I read a story recently about a woman who was sitting in a waiting room at a dentist's office, waiting for an appointment with a new dentist. And she looked at the certificate on the wall, his diploma, and she saw his whole name. And the name brought back memories. And she remembered back to high school, this tall, dark, handsome young man that she'd had a crush on when she was in high school. And she thought, surely that can't be the same guy who's this dentist. And then when the dentist walked in and she sees this balding, gray-haired man with this deeply lined face, she says, oh, he's way too old to have been in my class. But anyway, she asked him as he was examining her teeth, she said, did you happen to attend Morgan Park High School? And he says, I sure did. She says, when did you graduate? He says, 1969. Why are you asking? She said, you were in my class. He said, really? What did you teach? Well, that woman had a rude awakening. What does that have to do with this text? Not much. Commentators generally agree that older women in the scriptures, talking here about people who are past their child-rearing years, somewhere in the range of 50 to 60 or older. And we'll talk more about that when we get specifically to the verse on older women. But generally, the older population in this country, as you know, is increasing at a huge rate. In 2006, there were 37 million Americans who were 65 or older. About 12% of the U.S. population, one in every eight Americans. By 2030, there will be about 71 million people who are 65 or older, more than twice the number there were in 2000. And in 2000, people who were 65 or older represented 12% of the population. By the year 2030, they're expected to be 20% of the population. Of course, this is partially the aging boomers, etc. We need to deal with this whole issue of aging, both how we view our own aging and how we view the aging of others. There are women in this room who are dealing with physical and health and emotional and life issues of elderly parents. And it must occur to you as you watch your parents that one day you're going to be there. And some of you are there. And so we have women listening who are in these different seasons of life. I got an email from a friend some time ago, and we were exchanging thoughts about this whole thing of getting older. And she said something I think a lot of women feel. She said, the thought of getting old scares me and horrifies me. Now, that was a woman in her late 40s. And I think for a lot of women, this is the way they feel. The thought of getting older is a scary thing and a horrifying thing, perhaps even to some. While I was studying this passage last week, two different people sent me articles through my email within an hour of each other. And it was just interesting that both of them, to me, pointed out our culture's fixation with staying young-looking. The first was an AOL interview with a woman named Ann Kramer, who's 51 years old, and she's written a book called Going Gray. The subtitle is What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. And the interview was called Goodbye to Hair Dye. It pointed out that 65% of women over age 40 dye their hair. And in this interview, Ann Kramer was asked, they said to her, you decided to go from bottled brunette to natural gray. Why did you do that? Her answer was, 2 years ago, age 49, I saw a photograph of myself and I thought, who am I kidding? I looked fake. My hair dye wasn't fooling anyone. So after 24 years of coloring my hair every 3 weeks, I decided to find out my real color and get off the treadmill. She said all those years of dyeing my hair added up to $65,000, she calculated. If I had invested that money, today I would have $300,000, enough to pay for both my daughters to go to private colleges. I am thankful to say that I got off that treadmill in my mid-30s, and about that point I decided, you know what, I earned this gray hair. And one of the happiest days of my life was throwing away that bottle. But that's an issue for a lot of women today, and I don't mean to say that whether you color your hair or don't is a matter of spirituality. I'm just saying we have a culture that cares a lot about staying young-looking. Somebody sent me, within that hour, another article from the New York Times Fashion and Style section called, Is the Mom Job Really Necessary? It talked about what plastic surgeons call a mommy makeover. One plastic surgeon said the severe physical trauma of pregnancy, childbirth, and breastfeeding can have profound negative effects that cause women to lose their hourglass figures. And so this article was about various procedures and surgeries designed to, quote, overhaul a post-pregnancy body. And the article said, mommy surgery appeals both as a quick fix for stubborn post-pregnancy weight and as a way to control aging itself. Now, I don't care how many surgeries you have, you're still going to get older. And but it showed that our culture has this fixation on staying young-looking. And as I read these pieces, I thought, how are we as Christian women supposed to think about all of this? And what do we have to contribute to this discussion? Are we just going to go with the flow of the world as to what's important for women as they age? As we come to Titus chapter 2, where we'll spend the next several weeks, we see the value of older believers and the fact that they are crucial to the life of the church. We also see a respect for mature women and for their experience, for the experience that comes with age, as opposed to our mindset today where we idolize youth and youthfulness. We cater to youth and have a tendency to discard or disregard the elderly. Now, not only does the Apostle Paul emphasize the importance and the value that older people bring to the life of the church, but he talks about what matters for older people. What should be their priorities? What should be their focus? What should concern them most? So before we dig into the details and the specific characteristics and qualities that are to be true in older women, I want to just say a few words to those who are in the older season of life, and then a few words to those who are younger to help our perspective about this whole thing of age and aging. First of all, a few words to those who are older, and you can decide if you fit there. All of us are getting older, so this would apply in that sense to all of us. First, chronological maturity. That's like aging. Having birthdays, getting older, chronological maturity should be accompanied by spiritual growth and maturity. As you're getting older age-wise, you ought to be maturing spiritually, maturing into Christ-likeness. I love that verse, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, and I often put this on birthday cards or birthday greetings to people. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Now, when you're getting into your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you don't tend to think of your life as getting brighter and fuller. We tend to think of going downhill. That's the way people talk about aging today. But it's not God's perspective on aging. God's perspective is that if you are a righteous person, if you are a believer, that your life is like the light of dawn. It starts out just a little glimmer of light. And then as the day moves along and moves closer and closer to noon, the sun gets higher and higher in the sky till at full noon, the light is at its brightest. That's the way aging should be thought of spiritually. And there should never be a time in your life, no matter how old you are, when you stop flourishing, growing, and being fruitful. Never. There's never a time to retire spiritually. Never a time to be put on a shelf spiritually. Again, here's another passage I love. Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Picture of vitality to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's a description of godly old people. They're flourishing. They're growing. They're full of spiritual vitality. Their physical bodies may be diminishing. That's the part of the curse of the fall. But they are, their inner man is being renewed day by day. They're growing. They're flourishing. And they never stop being fruitful. They never stop proclaiming to others the goodness and the wonders of Christ and his gospel. And older people, let me say to you that you're supposed to be a model. You're supposed to be an example. Your character, your lifestyle should be worthy of respect. You should have a life that others can point to and say, that's what I want to be like when I'm your age. A life that's worthy of emulation, a life that's worthy of following because you follow Christ. You should be a model. But here's something else. You should also be a mentor. Not just a model, but also a mentor. You need to be drawing on your life experience to provide encouragement and exhortation and challenge to those who are younger. Now you say, well, I've blown so much of my life. I made so many wrong choices. I have failed in so many respects. And I'm sure the older you get, the bigger catalog of failures you have that Satan can throw up in your face and say, there's nothing you could offer. Teach out of your failures. Teach out of what God has shown you, where you did blow it, where you didn't trust him, what you learned through that, where God found you, about the addictions that you had, about the ways that you failed. Teach out of your life and help those who are coming behind you to be guarded and protected in their steps. My life is so much richer today as I'm getting older because of older people who have poured into my life and have modeled for me and mentored me in the ways of God. Now, I want to challenge you older people to be willing to take initiative and reach out to younger people in the community of faith. One of the things I hear about older people, about older women in the church, I hear it said, they just don't want to mentor. And then, of course, I hear some of the older people saying, the younger people just don't want to be mentored. You know what? Whether you're younger or older, take the initiative. Reach out. If you're older, find a younger woman. You don't have to be a PhD in theology. You don't have to have been to seminary. You don't have to be a great Bible teacher. Just open your life and open the Word of God and come alongside of some of these younger women and be willing to share out of your life. And then just a brief word to those who are younger. Job 12, verse 12 says, wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. Now you can be young and wise, but there's some aspects of wisdom and understanding that you only get with life experience. Remember that. And then remember that God cares about how we treat older believers, that they are to be treated with honor and with respect. Leviticus 19, verse 32 says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. The way you treat older people is an evidence of the way you treat the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that they will never do wrong, but the Apostle Paul taught pastors Timothy and Titus, if they are wrong, those older people, that when you appeal to them, you are to humbly and respectfully make your appeal. It's not that you can't challenge the lifestyle or the choices an older person is making, but Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, don't rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. And then younger women, and we're all younger to somebody, and we're all older to somebody, younger women, be teachable, be humble, value the life experience of the older women around you, solicit their input, receive instruction and correction with humility, ask questions, listen. Again, I have learned so much by finding older people. I went and sat down with my dear, long time ago pastor friend, Ray Orland, and his wife, Ann. Ray is now in heaven. And I asked them for counsel. I asked them for input. I'm so glad I did because within a matter of months, Ray was in heaven. And I didn't have another chance. But they poured into my life over that lunch. There were some tears. There was some wisdom shared. I'm still living on much of the rejuvenation and the encouragement and the grace that I got from that older couple as we sat over lunch together. Ask questions, listen, learn. Learn from their lives. Learn from observation. Learn by listening to what they have to say. If you want to be the kind of older woman who brings glory to God, then learn from the lives of older women who've already walked there before you.
If you're not learning from older women, you're missing out on an invaluable resource. Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth has been reminding us of this, and she'll be right back to pray. Nancy, how has this material affected your life? Have you sought out an older woman to give you input?
Yeah, actually I have, Leslie, many times over the years, and there's several women that have filled that older woman role in my life. Let me tell you about one of them. A few years ago, I contacted my friend, Janie Ortlund. You may know that name. She's a pastor's wife and an author and speaker, and she's been a guest here on Revive Our Hearts. At the time, I was in a season when I really felt the need to have another woman speaking into specific areas of my life. And Janie did that in such a precious way, as we had weekly phone calls over a period of months, and we would pray together, and she would pray for me during those weeks, and then would come back with things that the Lord had put on her heart during that week. And then when a certain gentleman named Robert Wolgemuth started contacting me and we began to explore the possibility of a friendship, I thought of Janie. Janie and her husband Ray know Robert, and I felt that Janie could give advice as I was considering entering into marriage. And I'm so thankful for some really wise input she gave to me in those months. And now, as a married woman, I find myself sometimes going back to her for advice as a woman who's been down this road already. And that's just one example of the precious women of God who've influenced my life. And an example of the kinds of relationships you can be developing, especially as we explore Titus chapter 2. And I hope you won't just listen to these teaching segments during this series on Revive Our Hearts. I want to encourage you to explore this passage even more deeply by getting a copy of the new book I've written called Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. It's a verse-by-verse study of the first paragraph of Titus chapter 2. And we'll send you a copy of this brand new book as our way of saying thank you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any amount. This ministry can't continue discipling women in God's Word without support from our listeners. That's why your gift at this time is so important to this ministry. Be sure to ask for the new book, Adorned, when you call us at 1-800-569-5959 to make your donation. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Thanks to the involvement of listeners like you, Revive Our Hearts can continue day after day, calling women to greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
Thanks, Nancy. We all have weaknesses and defects in our character. If you don't let God deal with those weaknesses, they'll grow more pronounced as you get older. Find out why when Nancy continues in Titus 2 tomorrow. Now she's back to pray.
Thank you, Lord, for the godly and wise example of so many older people that you've put into my life. And I pray that in this season of my life, you would be making me into a kind of woman who would be a model and a mentor and would have a life worth emulating for those who are coming behind. So, Father, teach us within the church, older and younger, to glorify you in our relationships and how we grow and learn through each other's lives, and to encourage one another in our faith as you have instructed that we should. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth is a supporter of mentoring relationships everywhere, and it's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.